Welcome back to Culture Shift on 101.9 WDET. Joining me is a recording artist and a Detroit native, but also she was the performer on the main themes for the Final Fantasy XIV MMO, as well as two expansions, Heavensward and Stormblood. Susan Calloway joins us here on Culture Shift. Susan, thank you so much for joining us.
It is my pleasure, Nate. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Now, Susan and I go way, way back. We've had the wonderful experience of talking several times. But just give listeners an idea of how you came to start performing music live and professionally.
Well, to give you the Cliff Note version, which is probably better because there's so much stuff that's happened in my career. I started as a musician at a very young age, singing and writing music. I was writing and performing my own songs at like 12. And then as my career kind of evolved as a kid, I started doing a lot of recording session work, which is kind of where I met Arnie Roth, who at the time had just started working with Final Fantasy. And he had me sing a song for an audio CD. It was Memoria de la Stona, which you might remember is one of like the first Distant World CDs, which is really popular with a lot of video game people. And from there, I started working they were doing a live tour that encompassed all the music from Final Fantasy games. So I did that, you know, with him. And then I was asked, it kind of evolved from there. And then I was asked to sing the themes for 14. And then while that was all going on, I continued to do a lot of recording session work for advertising, film. I've had many of my songs placed in films and television shows and things like that. Done a lot of jingle singing and things of that nature. And then I've also released a lot of music, and I'm actually working on a bunch of new stuff right now that is hopefully going to be coming out later this year. And that's, so I've got my hand in a lot of stuff, and Final Fantasy has been part of it. And that's been amazing because it's just such a large demographic of people that play that game. So that's been really a wonderful experience because it's really given me fans all over the world. So, which has been really cool.
So Susan, I have to ask, as a fellow Detroit native and as a show that is on in Detroit, what are some of the places that you love to play around the city of Detroit?
That's a good question. You know, I used to really love playing the Magic Bag. I haven't played there in a really long time. I was actually good friends with the owner before he passed away, and I know it's under new ownership now, and I'm not even sure what they're doing, but I always love the Magic Bag because they had a great, I love the stage there, and I just love they had a grand piano, which I'm a piano-based artist, so that was always really cool. But there's a place I've never played that I'd like to play called Cliff Bells. I'd love to play there. I think it's such a beautiful room, and I love the sound. But I've played all over because I've been performing for so many years, you know, down in all the Hamtramck, you know, fun little places. And like back in the day, like Alvin's, which is by Wayne State. You remember that place?
I actually do. In fact, I stopped by there the other day to pick up a pair of Carhartt pants because it's now a Carhartt store. And I have a lot of memories of Alvin's because that was where my punk band, I think, played our like third or fourth show. So, yeah, I am very, very fond of Alvin's. Also love Cliff Bells. You're absolutely right. That's one of the best rooms in the city. So you had mentioned Distant Worlds and you have a pretty unique path to performing on video game soundtracks. And for those that don't know, Distant Worlds is a live orchestrated concert series. How did you come to work with Arnie Roth and get hooked up with doing Distant Worlds performances?
Well, you know, I had done a few projects with Arnie. He had just become aware of me. I had just started working in Chicago doing a fair amount of session work for just different music producers. And, you know, and it's kind of a small niche of people that do this kind of work, you know, and I had a reputation, which I was being recommended a lot at that point in my career, which was really wonderful. So I was actually recommended to him by someone who used to work at another music house, and they, you know, that's kind of how I met him. And then he just started working with me, and it was, and they were looking at the time he had just started working with Nobu Uematsu, who's one of the big major composers for Final Fantasy. And they were actually together kind of putting together the tour of Distant Worlds and doing these audio CDs. And they were looking for a more American kind of pop singer to interpret some of the music, because traditionally it had all been sung by Japanese singers for the most part. And Nobu really wanted to branch out away from that a little bit and just do something else. And so that's sort of where I, you know, enter Susan. So I just happened to be like this person that Arnie had already worked with on a few things. I worked with him like a Barbie project, and like, because he does orchestration for all kinds of stuff. It was like this, you know, a kid's, you know, movie or whatever. And I sang a theme song for that. And so he knew of my sound and my vocal ability. And so that's kind of how it worked. It was, you know, it was definitely through Arnie, which is amazing. And I so appreciate Arnie. He's, you know, he's so awesome.
You're listening to Culture Shift on 101.9 WDET. We're sitting down with artist, singer, songwriter, performer, Susan Calloway. Distant Worlds is a touring show. What are some of your favorite memories of Distant Worlds?
Well, the thing that I love the most about being involved with Distant Worlds is just some of the amazing stages that I've gotten to play on. And it certainly inspires you to keep building your career, because I'd love to come back there as a solo artist. And that's kind of exciting. So I think some of my favorite memories have been Royal Albert Hall in London, of course. You know, I've been there a few times at this point, which has been amazing. It's just one of the most amazing venues, I think, in the world. There's a really beautiful place in Paris as well. I'm going to butcher the name. It's like something to go on. I can't remember the name of the venue we played. And then another one of my favorite memories is I actually was in Paris one time doing a Distant Worlds show, and the promoter actually arranged for me to do kind of an unplugged show the next night at a club. And so I was able to do that. And I played at this little club, and they had this beautiful grand piano. I was on this boat that was on the Seine, you know, the river that runs through Paris. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the most challenging shows, talk about memorable, I've ever played, because the boat is moving. Like, you don't think about this, and you're on this, like, I'm trying to sing and play and I'm moving, but the boat is also moving. And it was so bizarre. And I will never forget that. It was awesome, because we had so many people came out, and it was just a really amazing night to share my music, because I'd never done that kind of stuff in another country. You know, like, I've done a lot of showcase kind of shows like that here, like in the States, but not in Paris, you know? So that was pretty cool. That's one of my coolest memories, actually. But all the venues are amazing that we've played, so.
So you've appeared on the official theme, not just for the base game of Final Fantasy XIV, but two of the expansions as well, Heavensward and Stormblood. What was that experience like? Was it unique from another studio experience, or was it very similar to a lot of studio experiences that you've had?
Well, I mean, there's always similarities, because it's still, you're in a booth and there's a microphone and you're listening and you're trying to get a great performance. What made it unique is that the team of composers and musicians that were working on the music in Japan, they wanted to like Skype in and hear what I was doing live. So it was a little bit more nerve-wracking, because they wanted to like hear everything. And then there's a lot of, like, you'd hear these conversations. I'd be like singing for a while, and then all of a sudden I'd hear, Susan, so you're like, you know, they're talking about you. You have no idea what they're saying, because it's in Japanese and I do not speak Japanese. So that was kind of like a funny experience, because you're like, huh, wonder what they're saying. And they're like, okay, we're good, we go to next section. I'm like, okay. So that was like, and we'd do it at crazy time of the day, because, you know, the time change, it's like a 14-hour difference. So we were doing these sessions starting at like 11 at night, which is not ideal, but it was good. That made it unique for sure.
So were you tracking the vocals along with already recorded music for the finalized recording? And would Distant Worlds be the first time that you would be performing some of these songs live with instrumentation behind you?
Yes. I mean, it's like they're kind of like working directly on the game is like a little bit of an offshoot, like different kind of set of people that work on that versus Distant Worlds. But there's a lot of overlap. And I worked on, for example, to do these Skype sessions for Square Enix, who owns the game, for the Final Fantasy tracks that are going to be on the game. I did that with Arnie. You know, he produced the vocal, and I did that at his studio in Chicago. So we kind of did it that way. There's definitely like an overlap. I mean, it's, you know, it's, and not all the songs, we don't even do, like, one of the songs that I do, I don't think we've done with Distant Worlds, because they have done some Final Fantasy XIV concerts that they have included me on some of those. but it's not a Distant Worlds concert. So it's actually like almost a different concert situation.
Does anything change about your performance when you're doing something? Because, you know, when something is tracked and it's quantized and everything is on beat and everything is perfect, how does that change your performance for when you're now live with an orchestra behind you?
You mean versus recording?
Like, yeah.
I love live because there's a freedom to live. You can always do little vocal changes and stuff. In fact, that's one of my favorite things to do, and it drives Arnie crazy because he's much more, I think he'd prefer I sang it exactly like the recording, but I'm always adding my own little Susan thing because, you know, at my heart, Nate, I'm a rock singer, you know, like I've been like the lead singer of rock bands, and I'm like, I'm a pretty, like, you know, gutted out kind of singer. So it's fun to play live because you can kind of, you know, I love to just express the vocal a little differently and give fans a little slightly different interpretation, not be so in the cookie cutter mold. But you got to watch that when you're with a live orchestra because it's a really big band and you don't want to throw people off. So it's really important. I just watch, and I love watching Arnie's face though when I do something, because I can tell he's just like, oh no, what's she going to do? What's she going to do? And he has this expression sometimes and I'm like, you know, I get a kick out of it.
That's great. That's awesome. You're listening to Culture Shift on 101.9 WDET. We're talking with singer-songwriter Susan Calloway, who's been a part of the Distant Worlds Final Fantasy concert series, as well as a performer on the official themes for Final Fantasy XIV. Speaking of Final Fantasy and the Final Fantasy community, you've got a really special connection with the Final Fantasy community, specifically with the Final Fantasy XIV community. What has it meant to you to be able to connect with those fans?
Oh, it's been amazing. I've been just amazed at just how generous and appreciative they are. And they really just love the music, and they're so grateful that I'm involved with it, which is really, really awesome. It's always nice when people accept you, you know, and really appreciate what you're doing, because I'm not necessarily a gamer person. I don't play Final Fantasy XIV. I really want to learn. I'm always threatening I'm going to learn, like, why everyone can watch and make fun of me online. But maybe someday. But just for time. It's just such a demanding game, I'm afraid. Anyway, but that's total sidebar. But no, I really appreciate the fans, and they're lovely. They're so cool, and it's been really fun to get to know them. And I think for me, it's really been amazing because I know, as I learned to understand what the music means in the different songs and where they come in and during gameplay, it really makes me appreciate, you know, the storyline and, like, and also the role that they almost have kind of put me in. You know, I'm kind of like this, the voice of Heidelin, I guess, and, you know, kind of like this person that's always bringing, like, kind of reason and wisdom and direction, which is kind of a funny position to find yourself in, but I'm honored for it, and I take it seriously, and I really try to inspire the fans with not only my music and my involvement in the game, but also just the different things I have on my platform. So it's cool.
Sticking with the Final Fantasy community here for a moment, you were a part of a really cool video project by Alex Mukala, who is a wonderful YouTube musician that does a lot of Final Fantasy music, but he got over 1,400 vocalists to submit tracks to make this incredible choral version of Close in the Distance. Can you talk about your experience with that and your reaction to the finished product?
Oh, it was amazing. I love Alex. He's become a friend, and I think he's so talented. And one thing I love about Alex is not only is he really talented, but his vision and his desire to give back to the community and to create this, like, even though we're all kind of living all over the place, that we kind of create this community where we're really connected and there's a lot of camaraderie and friendship. And that's really awesome when you can do that. So I love that about him. And being involved in it was amazing. I mean, I wasn't sure what to expect, to be honest, because he kind of told me what he was doing, and I didn't really wrap my head around it till I saw it. So it was really cool to see it, especially the end when you see, like, all these teeny tiny pictures of people and, like, everyone singing. And it's just, and really, isn't that what it's about? I think that's what I love about it the most, is, like, music in its finest moment really is a thing that brings everyone together. And that's the best thing about music. And it really does. And no matter what your political views are, or your, you know, your gender, or your religious beliefs or your how old you are, or we could, you know, what country you're from. It just doesn't matter. It's like, it just takes all those walls down, and it helps us remember that we're all really connected and that we're all people and that we all have so much to learn from each other. And that to me is what music's all about. And that's what I think, that's why that project was so powerful, because it really, that was what that project said to me, you know?
Absolutely. And I was one of those little tiny squares, by the way.
That's so awesome.
I feel honored to have been in the same project as Susan Calloway. And by the way, a ton of other amazing vocalists that were a part of that project. Yeah. It was very cool. I really admired what Alex did and the way it brought the community together. It was really, really cool to see. Susan Calloway is our guest here on Culture Shift on 101.9 WDET. So why don't you talk to us about some of the stuff that you've got going on currently? You've got a fan club. I see that you're coaching. Tell us a little bit more about what you're doing right now.
Sure. Well, as you and I had talked earlier, the pandemic has made us all sort of rethink things that we can do with our career and creative ways that we can interact with our fans. And one thing that I started doing during the pandemic is I started doing some artist coaching. Obviously I'm a big singer, but I'm also a songwriter. And I actually was asked to do a master's class at Berklee School of Music in Boston. And it was a couple of years ago when I was out there performing with Distant Worlds, and I enjoyed it so much that that's one of the things that sort of inspired me to start coaching. And I've had people ask me over the years, but it's not something I ever really created a platform for. So I love doing that. And I still have a room for a couple more students. If anyone's interested, you can go to my website. But I love doing artist coaching. I think it makes a huge difference. And I think at this point in my career, I've done so many things, Nate. It's really nice to pass things along to other people and to inspire them, because it's a really hard business. And there's a lot of coaches that don't have the background that I do, you know, that not only have went to school for it, but also have actually had the career I've had, all the performing experience I've had and everything else. So it's really a great thing to offer, you know, students. So I've got that. And then I do some life coaching, as I mentioned to you, which is something I was very inspired to do during the pandemic. So I got certified as a life coach. So I offer that. A lot of my artists, I kind of end up life coaching too. So we do that. And then I also have a subscription, like a membership fan club that I've started, which has music lovers and Final Fantasy fans. And we do all kinds of events that are exclusive to them. They get all my music for free. There's tons of benefits. And I even do some promotion for streamers and things like that. So I try to make it something that's really worthwhile that they're getting a great value for. So I have that. And I have a cool store on my site too that's like a boutique. It's got Susan merch, a Susan anime like section and stuff. But we're going to be adding way more products to it. And the idea of the Good Soul Tree, which is the name of my boutique, is that it's a little store with a really big soul is kind of my little catchphrase. And we give amount of 10% of all proceeds go to helping others who are in need, whether it's like kids that need backpacks or there's even a couple organizations that are in other countries that are helping like orphanages and making sure kids are getting medical care and food and things like that. So I really wanted to do something that would be, you know, beneficial. Like if you bought stuff from me, you're going to be benefiting, you know, someone else. So I've got that going on. So it's a lot of stuff. Oh, and then I have my podcast that I started, but that's actually on hiatus right now. It's going to be coming back this fall, but I have an inspirational podcast called Scar Stories as well.
Absolutely. And you can check all of that out over at SusanCalloway.com. I also wanted to ask about what's coming in the future. What's something, you know, what's some things that Susan fans have to look forward to?
Well, there's a couple things. I'm working on a bunch of new music. So I'm going to be releasing some new music this year. I've got new songs. I've also got a couple Final Fantasy covers I'm working on that I know I'm not going to tell anyone what it is. It's going to be a surprise. I also am about to release too. A couple months ago, I was asked to sing a song for the NHL. They did for the Stanley Cup playoffs. I did a version of Bob Dylan's The Times They Are Changing. And I've had a ton of people sending me, requesting, like, where can I get the single? And so I asked permission and went through the proper channels, and I'm going to be releasing that really soon, actually, because I've had such a huge amount of people asking me for it. So, you know, so I'm going to do that. So I'm working on that right now as well. That was kind of a side thing that turned into a thing. So kind of fun.
That's so cool. And I actually, I have heard that version of the times are a changing, and I didn't know that that was you. I'm embarrassed to say.
That's
it's so awesome because that's such a great version, and I can't wait for it to come out and get a chance to listen to it. Susan Calloway has been our guest here on Culture Shift on 101.9 WDET. Susan, thank you so much for the opportunity to sit down and catch up with you.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. It's great to hang out and hear what you're doing, and I appreciate you having me on. It's nice to see everybody. So check out my website, you guys. I got a bunch of stuff on there, so
SusanCalloway.com is the website. Make sure you go and check it out. Susan, thank you so much.